From PR News in Washington, I'm hampering efforts to reach a rocket-propelled Iron Fist. More than 100 blows with Israeli stones at Palestinian civilians with a 3.5% growth rate estimated a month ago. The White House is defending the White House.
The White House.
On Wall Street, 31-10-34-2068. The Commerce Department reports the gross brought expanded in the first quarter of the year. President Bush has signed an executive order giving the U.S. government new powers to clamp down on PR news in Washington.
Save your palliative cliches for the next, poor sap.
The Self-Genius Hour of Sweat.
It hurts! It hurts! Owie, 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 owie!
Is that right, Bob?
Praise Bob. Praise Bob.
Is that right, Bob?
Praise Bob.
Right.
Now we're going to have Dr. Drummond here, and then continue at some point with the subgenius auction of the treasures of time, the last artifacts of old Earth, which we're going to be selling tonight. Including the extra lewd DVD of girls frisking unclothed in the locker room, which he will probably bring from our cabin where we studied it.
You did?
Yes, to make sure that the buyers would get the value that they deserved. Yeah, there may be some other videos that need to be flogged as part of the final procedure.
Yeah, that's right. We've only got less than 12 hours left of Earth money spending.
But
time.
It is therapeutic for us to continue in our foolish humanoid rituals of buying and selling, getting and spending, and judging non-existent values against each other, even unto the last moments of our existence. For otherwise, we would not be human. And though we are subgeniuses, we are also human subgeniuses. Yeah. Oh, the humanity will go. It will be burned away in the searing fires of X-Day, which is why the subgenius understructure, the subgenius endoskeleton, is so important to cultivate.
Yeah, you want to know how girls look under their clothes? Look to that endoskeleton.
One of nature's most remarkable creations.
Hey, Pater Nostril, I'm going to turn the mics here up, and you may want to turn your output down because it's for my tape, actually. So, there.
If our voices echo in an unseemly manner, you have to let us know. Because
that's enough for me. That's fine for me.
This is getting to go on the escape ship. Some of the last records made in this place.
The final tapes made on Earth. They'll study these tapes, you know, for clues and hints. What did we do wrong? What could we have done to have joined them? Why must we be left behind? And it'll be too late.
And now
they realize $30 could have done it.
And it's too late. Those $30 mean nothing anymore. And they barely did back then. $30 used to be quite a chunk of change, but when you consider what the usual utility bill is, $30 is a mere hiccup of a laugh in the night, a departing bunch of borgerigmus or flatulence that you'd forget about. And only the next day, if then, wonder fleetingly what happened to it. In the meantime, it would be guarding you, protecting you against the many horrors and indignities of the seething subgenius apocalypse, which, had you only considered, was bearing down upon you at that moment, as it does at this moment.
Dun, 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 dun.
Well, we don't need to feather our comments because we're not trying to scare everyone. We all know the stakes in this terrible game we've been playing. The risk, the gamble, the sport of it all.
The sport, the lark, the joke, dear friends. Well, that was Dr. Howell and myself awaiting the seething subgenius apocalypse that we thought was bearing down upon planet Earth, quote, Earth, unquote, recorded on the stage at the Pavilion of Brushwood, the clothing optional campground in western New York where we await the saucers. 8 years in a row now. But still, as you can tell, with total faith. Although, you know, the late afternoon just before X-Day, or X-Day-ing, we call it, that can become a little challenging, as we hear here in these live recordings made off the cult's soundboard by cultist Pater Nostril just before their day of tragedy.
Been 7 a.m. come and gone in Australia and New Zealand. Has anybody heard from Reverend Chain Smirker? No? That's a good sign. Has anybody heard from, what's his name, Reverend Cardboard Box in New Zealand? No, I haven't heard a word from him. I haven't gotten any email from him in many hours. Has anybody picked up any radio signals from New Zealand or Australia in the last few hours? You prove to me that they haven't been shut down, that they haven't been ruptured. People, ignorant, illiterate subgeniuses who don't ever buy the actual book, The Subgenius, often ask that question to be cute. Why, man, 7 a.m., is that Eastern Standard Time or Central Time? But as we all know from long, long studying of the prescriptures, that the saucers line up vertically over from North Pole to South Pole over the international date line, which starts in the middle of the Pacific Ocean. And at 7 a.m., they turn on their rupture-sucking device and let the world rotate underneath them. They're slack. See? Path of least resistance. Thus, you know, it's 7:15 right now here. Well, it was 7 a.m. 12 hours ago somewhere. And we haven't heard from them. But I would think that by the time, say, Beijing was utterly destroyed by the Axis, we'd start getting, even here at Brushwood, we'd start getting news. Wouldn't there be people running down the hill going, man, did you hear? It's like weirder than the tsunami. It's like everyone east of the time zone has disappeared. And some of them are skeletons and some of them are just piles of clothes. The piles of clothes are the subgeniuses, friends. It'll be mostly skeletons. As we saw in that War of the Worlds low-budget movie, skeletons that continue to writhe in agony and pain as they burn. After the flesh and tendons have burned off, the skeletons still struggle in agony.
This is a terrible thing to say, but it's true. It's young men such as you, 18 to 25 years old, who are doing most of the killing. You, American boys, you're killing your own people and yourselves. You are killing American women, American men, American children. Now get this. Yes, I know, I know. You're too quick, too experienced, too smart.
Cool. Cool cats.
But I won't.
I'm up to my ears in ginger ale.
I think I'll cool off and put my face back on.
Break it up, you squares.
We've got all our lives ahead of us. We'll manage somehow.
And a long life.
What a night.
The longer, the better.
I can't do...
I plan on doing a little snuggling with Claire.
Coming, baby.
When she comes.
When she comes. Comes.
Golly, Mike. 6 inches.
4.5 inches.
Oh.
We'll kill.
We'll kill. Kill the old nigger, sir. We'll kill the old nigger.
We've given him plasma.
Thank you.
I think he can take it.
Hey, fella. How are you feeling?
Do you remember what happened last night? Airman Wilkins had 5. And Airman Kelly had 6.
Yes, sir.
You turned over twice.
Badly beaten up.
What about her leg? What about her leg?
Let it go. Get it over with.
Millions of men have dedicated their lives to killing your own people and yourselves. But there's always some kid who comes along to dirty that reputation.
There's a great little guy.
Yeah,
So keep your mouth shut.
I don't know what to say. I never had this happen before. I don't know what to say. He didn't look bad at all.
I know how you feel.
I don't know what to say. I know how you feel. Joyriding, dear friends, by Norell Preff, who is now at norellpreff.com. Go there for his slackful stuff. And that's what it's all about, isn't it? Slack. Not intelligence, but slack.
Friends, you don't need those brain cells. You don't need to be able to read. All you need is to be able to recognize the Dobbs head. That's really all it takes. Sometimes I wish I could be blind to everything that wasn't a Dobbs head.
Well, be careful what you wish for, Ivan. Like the picture of Dorian Gray, a hideous bargain could still be enacted. And while we're all enjoying the pleasure saucers of the sex goddesses, you could be in a jag, an endless loop, staring at that head. And you've done enough of that in your ministry.
Don't you tell me when I've done too much, Dobbs head.
We know you've suffered too much. To bring slack to others, you've often lost it yourselves. I know that you're tempted to go out in a blazing, burning engram of the Dobbs face on your soul, but this sacrifice may not be necessary.
Who needs arms? Who needs legs? The Dobbs head doesn't have those. If I could just have each part amputated bit by bit until there was nothing left but a head and have the little dots tattooed on, you know, and be just like Bob.
Yes.
But isn't that the nightmare of religion, you know?
It's very expensive. The soma ectomy takes many stages.
That's the ultimate example of sucking the finger rather than going where it points. Bob doesn't want a planet of all male salesmen selling silly crap to each other.
Then there's the facial reconstruction.
He wants a million
surgery.
Different kind of people selling crap where the profits come back to him. That's all.
And the dottoplasty is another thing that is quite expensive when they do it.
The which plasm?
The dottoplasty, when they put the dots on. Each one, you know, has to be gathered from another part of the body and reshaped. But they can do anything these days,
yeah.
Particularly down in South America. You know the way it is.
They don't have those silly laws. With
no.
The brain, the fetus brain tissue and so forth. Friends, if you end up with any possible access to any extra fetus brain tissue, we have use for that. And the fetus can actually be pretty well along.
Delicious
sixth,
on ice cream,
seventh
in
year.
Milkshakes, and yeah. To top your favorite dessert.
Space mercenary of the universe.
I am Rocket Ball.
Strawberry shortcake, help me. I want my mommy.
Strawberry shortcake, help me. I want my mommy.
Strawberry shortcake.
Well, it's rather interesting that I was asked to follow Dr. Hal. At the risk of sounding too overly kiss-ass, I've been a fan and admirer of the doctor since I first saw his artwork in... Paradox Press's book, The Big Book of Conspiracies, when I was roughly around 11 or 12 years of age. It was that book that led me into the Church of the Subgenius, because that book had a foreword by Reverend Ivan Stang. But Dr. Hal is, I suppose, a archetype of some kind, a Jungian sort of archetype, and in fact, that's a little bit of what I'd like to talk about. You see, I've noticed this week that... Slack has come to me in a very interesting sort of way. My approach to Slack this week has been realizing at the oddest sort of moments how I felt when I had more slack when I was a young child. That ineffable feeling at this brushwood place is similar to that lilting feeling of joy that a young child has when they're at their grandparents' house. And you know, I'm 18 years old. I'm a heterosexual male virgin, and yet in my time, in my life, the things I've experienced have kind of popped my cherry, so to speak. I sort of have I'm overcoming a certain cynical realism. Because these are hard times. These are difficult times, not only to be a subgenus, but to be an American and to be a human on this planet. It's a sick world, I think we all realize. It's a sick world when, you know, a conspiracy over man can molest children and get away with it. It's a sick world when we have Bush and so on and so forth. It's a sick world when we don't have any slack. And, you know, slack to some is certainly rewarding and relaxation and ease and patience. But one of the more interesting aspects of the Church of the Subgenius is that we make no attempt, we make no pretense to make you feel comfortable. We simply bring you up here, show you our dog and pony show, and if you like it, you like it, and if you don't, hopefully you leave and we never see you again. Indeed, it would be an interesting sort of predicament should the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms come across this place. I think we would all know what would happen then. They'd murder us and blame us for our own deaths. I'm sure our Nazi friend can tell us a little bit more about that. But moving right along, the conspiracy would do this because the conspiracy exists and plays the role of philanthropists. To quote the character of Clinton Stark in George Pal's film, The Seven Faces of Dr. Lau, "I'm a philanthropist, boy. I like to help people." Well, that's what the conspiracy does best, is it helps people. And in fact, we're living in an epoch in which the conspiracy is helping us through the standard conservative methods of guns and bombs and death and destruction. Now, in the Clinton years, we had the standard liberal conspiracy helping of, vaguely socialist sort of programs and a glossy idealism. And well, here's an example. For instance, you're a subgenius. You've had some problems, some personal problems, some life problems that Bob isn't just enough for. So you go to the doctor. The doctor looks over at your records, and he says, Oh, okay, I see. What do we have for you? You are a bipolar, schizotypical, high-functioning autistic. Please take these pills and function as a normal person because this unmutualism will not stand. And then, of course, George W. Bush wouldn't know anything about that. He'll just bomb the fuck out of you. Slack. Slack is an interesting subject. I've written these down. Slack of the Bobbies says, oh, I've got to show off how weird I am and how strange and bizarre and freaky I am. And most subgenii I've noticed aren't necessarily concerned with being weirdos as much as they are with slacking off. In fact, I myself indulge in the conspiracy media. I enjoy pop music and, you know, TV movies and what have you, but it doesn't make me any less of a subgenius, I hope. Indeed, the conspiracy produces good things. I've often listened to albums by Christina Aguilera and thought, you know, those producers have deft little fingers. Perhaps if they weren't conspiracy monsters, they might make something of themselves. And, of course, I've known the slack of sales as well. Reverend Lord Ferg and I used to install car audio, and when you made that perfect sell, you felt a jolt of slack carouse up and down your kundalini. After that, I worked telemarketing, and the jolt was not quite as strong, but it was still there. The fact of the matter is that slack exists in many, many forms, and it is for us to understand them. Indeed, that is the function of life on this planet. As a subgenius, you realize that there are three functions. First of all is to appreciate, respect, love, and worship beauty. Secondly is to appreciate, love, and worship, respect, and act as a conduit for slack. And thirdly is to press on and hope that your evolutionary dictation progresses into the future. Because we are the 0.1% that acts against the bulwark of conspiracy bullshit. We are riding the crest of a fabulous fractal wave directly into what could be a wonderful future if we act now and strike while the iron is hot. My prophecy, as Reverend Stang has mentioned a number of times, is that NASA has sent up missiles to destroy the Yakutizma scout ships, but I still feel that NASA covered up what could have been the most threatening aspect of life on this planet, the shift of the poles with their tsunami story, but, you know, that is what it is. It's interesting to point out that youth may come and age may go, but there will be no more circuses like this show, and that they came to snuff the rooster, but you know he ain't ever going to die. As I said before, if you're the sort of person who regards yourself as an extropian, as someone pushing on towards an evolutionary progression, towards perhaps a great singularity, possibly from an Exodus destroyer or from the ending of a Mayan universal calendar, you still see that idealistic spark in every apocalyptic nightmare you've ever had. And what I would like to recommend to you today is that you maintain that idealistic spark, you keep it strong, powerful, healthy, and lit, and you go out of this place as happy as you came, making the world a better, safer place for Slack and Sub-Gene I in general. Thank you.
Alex Thompson, friends, best diction.
One kid, violence. Two kids, violence. Three kids, violence.
I'm Dr. Laura Schlesinger. Welcome to the program. Okay, I'm going to take you down an entirely different line. You need to talk to your attorney. Give me a break. You don't need this. Give me a break here. I'm Dr. Laura Schlesinger. Silly, foolish woman. Me. Get rid of her. Do you really finally understand?
You can give me a lecture. You can beg me. You can bribe me. I don't get it. There's nothing I can do. Going in a circle. Boyfriend came and shot up your kids.
Madam.
Tie your tubes and don't make more babies. Bull, dog. I choose to live with a violent man. There's not a thing you can do about it. Yikes. Depressed, low self-esteem, feeling like a failure. Oppressed other people.
I'm Dr. Laura Schlesinger. Welcome to the program.
I cannot fix.
Me. Not eating. Starting to drink. Me. L-A-R-D-U-R-L-A-R-D-U-D-R.
Do it.
A boyfriend.
You gotta do what you have to do.
Because you knew. Me. Me. I am my kids. Crappy. Mom. What's wrong? On the highway? On the highway, yeah. Isn't that ironic? Do they know? Oh, boy, don't even bother to go there. You know, Laura Schlesinger specializes in trauma, and there's no quick fix to this.
Norel Pref, and before that, Reverend Alex Thompson. Coming up, radio synesthesia clips. But now, friends, there's still time to...
Get
friends,
in the water.
This could be your last night on Earth.
Still time to get in the water.
Friends, think about it. This could be your last night on Earth. Have you called your old ma up and told her you loved her?
Well, if you haven't, too late. You can't do it from here.
I mean, think about that. When was the last time you called up your old ma and
your sainted, gray-haired old mammy?
You loved her. This could be the last chance. Think about that.
What if they don't love her, though?
Well,
what if they hate their ma and they call her up and say, "Ma, I love you"? That could send the wrong message.
Well, it works both ways. This is your last chance to tell her off and get it off your chest.
Yes, it is. But then there's also a sort of blessing in her not knowing. I mean, let's look at this realistically. The nice thing about the apocalypse is that you all go together when you go. It's not as if just you died and let your loved ones to discover your pornography collection on their own. No, they all go up in complete ignorance of every terrible thing. And you are buoyed up by the idea that, you know, there is something more.
What's that name of that company that if you die accidentally, they come in and scrub all the porno off your computer before your family gets there?
That's CleanCo.
Okay, all right, yeah.
But, you know, all they do is record it for
it's
themselves.
Good business if you think about it.
You know, really, the only way to get the child pornography off of your hard drive is to strap the hard drive to the exterior of one of the space shuttles and the heat shielding. That's how the congressmen and... get rid of their child pornography.
Well, they claim they get rid of it. Actually, they need it for further study. Did you bring that DVD of the locker room, shower room antics here, as I asked you? Because we are going to have to sell it.
No, I didn't bring it with me.
Well, later on,
then I still had it in the locker room.
Well, during the auction, we'll sell it, and then they can come by the Sub-Genius cabin to get it.
Yeah, it's really... something.
It's really something. Inept. Bad camera work.
It's only 53 minutes and it's got like six chapters.
The worst is you have to listen to them, to their chatter while
they're
they
giggling
get
and tittering and having a great old time.
Yeah, but they're boring.
Scrubbing the bees and soap off each other's bare buttocks.
Yeah, well, for all of
that, was the best part.
It could be better considering the contents.
Friends, you'll be soaping the buttocks of alien space goddesses in just a matter of hours.
And they yours.
They truly be.
They yours.
They could be
also
soaping your buttocks.
That's what I'm trying to warn them about, that in fact that will happen. The holy injunction, wash your ass, will be enacted unto the nth degree aboard the space saucers. Because nothing impure and organic can be allowed to go. What is dirt, anyway? Dirt only is something which has had some touch of life in it. Pure, sterile sand and lunar regolith is not dirty because there's never been any feces in it or dead bugs or anything like that. But the divine presence of life is what creates filth. And on the space vessels, of course, as we enter into a new understanding with the cosmos, these ludicrous flesh bags will probably be discarded, or at least made highly more efficient and tolerable.
It'll be just like getting new shoes. That's all. It'd be like discarding
a momentary discomfort and then breaking them in. But yeah, sure. The new shoe and
they're maybe tight and cause blisters for the first few.
Your flesh.
Years.
You're talking about your flesh bag.
Your new body.
I'm talking about soul blisters.
You know, we were asking one X-Day drill. How are you going to remake your body? And Rockner, I think, said, I'm going to just stay the way I am because I've gotten used to it.
Well, you can't, change perfection.
That's one thing to be said about change.
One does not need to make these changes just for the sake of some sort of busy work. Once you can redesign your body, why not? It's a gas. It's a laugh and a half.
What do you think about that thing where the guy said, if it ain't broke, break it?
Well, that's like some remnant of old hippie philosophy. I remember a similar mantra about, if you can't pick it up or eat it, then shit on it. Yeah.
No, that was the dog's credo. If you can't eat it or fuck it, piss on it.
Well, dogs or humans, it was
a
disappointingly utilitarian philosophy, which we hope to transcend by our efforts, because there are other ways that it can be happily used. Perhaps this is what Rocknar was indicating in his rant.
Well, we have...
I already saw that one.
So many choices. Look at the way people modify their bodies now. Think if you had every possible... when your imagination is the only limitation for it, well, I'm afraid we'll see an awful lot of werewolves and vampires.
Well, that's,
goth,
of course,
goth kids that really look a little extra vampirish and tough guys.
Yes,
that look a little extra
flouncing,
tough
prancing, My
extra
Little
dicks.
Ponies, unicorns, flibbertigibbet, big-eyed anime princesses have to put up with a lot. But as we leave Earth and its many solecisms behind, the original meaning that adhered to these things will become faint, and we can accept them just as another god-awful vision, like all the ones that we'll be forced to confront from nanosecond to nanosecond.
And I don't mind, personally, if the Trojan horse of evolution is pleasure. Bring on the she-male, and something incredibly new will happen.
Many of our predecessors had to change and become something different. Now, actually, the Church of Bob and the teachings of Bob are not exactly... Well, it is a religion, but it's more like sci-fi. You could call it religion-fi, in fact. If there was a re-fi book section at the bookstore, that's where our stuff would be in. Religious fiction, you might say. And how is that different from all the rest? Now, I was, unlike most kids, I was not raised in a religious home, and I don't have a bone to pick with any particular religion. I was raised on sci-fi instead of the Bible. Same difference, some might say. And after a while, I kind of felt like I was growing out of that, and I read a lot of comparative religion when I was younger, and then I got into the paranormal.
and really read up a lot on the paranormal. But eventually, I switched to history because it was weirder. If you don't believe me, pick up a history of Russia, and it's weirder than the weirdest paranormal crap I ever read. But now I've kind of back to science fiction again, like my childhood religion. And because out of all those forms, you know, paranormal books, religious books, and history books, the sci-fi writers work the hardest to make their bullshit plausible. No offense, but they really try to, you know, the hard sci-fi books, the ones with the spaceships on the covers. There's the other kind that has dragons on the covers, and those are probably really good too, but those aren't the kind that I like. I do, friends, understand the pull of the demon-haunted world. The Church of the Subgenius is looking for misfits, disbelievers, or those who will believe anything. And I've believed just about everything at some point or another. Why do you think I'm working for J.R. Bob Dobbs? But, you know, friends, you have to believe that you can get something for nothing. That's what Bob's promising for $30. You can get something for nothing. You have to believe in that magical thing because, you know, even if something for nothing doesn't come your way, if you had faith that it would, if you believed that it would, then even if it didn't, you'll think it did. So what's the difference? And that right there is that's the true miracle of religion. And people say there's no such thing as magic. You know, and yet they still have faith in such utter bullshit. To me, that's proof that miracles still exist. Some people believe in magic, and it works for them. That's the important thing. It works. Some people don't believe in magic, and it works even better for them. Now, and you might say, oh, well, Reverend Stango, he thinks he's real smart. Well, we did call it Church of the Subgenius, friends. And if you think about it, almost everybody can qualify. Every now and then we run into people who kind of, well, I think I'm not exactly subgenius. Do you qualify? That was recorded at Winterstar of 2005. I've got to come up with something new for Starwood, which is July 19th through the 24th, also at Brushwood, but sponsored by Ace of Cleveland. Anyway, friends, and now back to that's the amino acids in the background. There's no explaining them. Now back to the 8X-day drill, actually the 10th drill, as Dr. Howell and Dr. Drummond and I attempt to kill time until the world ends, along with time.
So I don't know when we're going to do the auction, but I guess that will close off these proceedings, and then each person must retire and consider the last minute preparations that must be made for the apocalypse. A private
some people
matter.
Want to get a good night's sleep because it's a long way, you know.
No, yeah, it's a long way. Some try the staying up all night drinking approach, which almost always results in passing out at 6:45.
Or you can go to X Day and
you might want to work out. You know, go down to the gym and work out.
Now, some people feel that the act
eat a lot of vitamin E and oysters
and coming down here at 7:00 is itself a sign to the Exus that we don't have slack, and that in order to show that we're worthy of them, we should stay in bed this time. But it just seems like that would kind of wreck the tradition. I mean,
you
really
want
to go to Planet X that bad? Well, yeah, I guess so.
Come, Jones, coming.
You've just got to get up and out of bed for some things. Like when you're a little shaver, to get up and go downstairs and watch cartoons, it's necessary to leave your bed.
As I've been telling people, every X day when I get up at 6:30 in the morning and have to get my clothes on so early and go work.
It's horrible
down here.
Having to stumble out of bed and shave and everything. But
I think to myself, well, at least as sacred scribe of the Subgenius Church,
I only have to do this once a year.
Once a
five
year!
Five times a week.
Yes, the pinks have to do it all their lives.
Most people have to do that every fucking day. My own wife, a princess of an outer space fleet, has to get up and go to work every day.
It's incredible.
Fair is a river in Africa or the place where you take your pig and hope to win a prize. But justice and karma are a lie, and God does not care. And
the
Tsar is very
universe.
Far away.
In this universe.
So it's up to you, my friends, to build your own ship, and your own faith and slack shall draw those X's. So therefore, if they don't show up tomorrow, it's your fault, not mine. Don't throw shit at me. I'm getting tired of that. That's old.
But didn't you practice running this year?
You know, actually, I never make any plans for 7 a.m. except to greet the sex goddesses in power and glory. And I have a list in my head of hurry to Amsterdam and get the Rijksmuseum before some fuckhead subgenius destroys it. Get the Grand Canyon, get Monument Valley, some of my favorite places.
The plastic dinosaur warehouse in Las Vegas,
Nevada. No, that's yours.
Yeah, that's what I'm pointing out. That one is mine.
I don't want anybody fucking with me. I don't want to show up at the Rijksmuseum in Amsterdam and find one of you motherfuckers beaming up all the cool furniture out of there.
You're welcome to it.
Because you will have to back your fucking saucer cart off of my green, daddy-o. You know,
Reverend
the real
Stang,
problem,
that just shows
it could
that
be that that at 7:15 tomorrow we'll all be at bitter war with each other using weapons previously unimaginable.
Yeah, but once we
surely
get on the spaceship, the chair, even the shittiest kitchen chairs there are more comfortable than anything that's ever been imagined on Earth.
That's
right,
true, but you might want to preserve some of your previous identity. Don't forget your roots as an ape.
The scene is a spaceship, Benson. You are beautiful woman scientist. Your spaceship is nearing its destination.
003200. When you finish that... Now, just let me look. I hope so. Me too. Step out.
What are you doing out there?
Why don't you shut up?
You said, he said. This can go on forever. You said, he said. This can go on forever.
Well, I guess I can if she can.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Oh, some sex goddesses. Thanks to NorElPref.com. And then there's the horrible theory that the subgenius, everything went wrong in the original 1998, and we're stuck in a loop where for all eternity, it's 7 o'clock in the morning and nothing has happened. Forever and ever and ever.
Bob.
From PR News in Washington, I'm considered highly preventable. President Bush is facing more pressure to step up U.S. aid to PR's grenade. On Wall Street, 1025, the Bush administration says it's seriously reviewing allegations that State Department spokesman Sean McCormick says that officials say that rocket-propelled protesters barricaded themselves in the healthcare system. Updating figures from Wall Street, 1024-12-2681. President Bush has signed legislation that would provide trained counselors to help PR News, Washington.
Now we come to a very important section, one that everyone dreads, sex.
Yes. Penis.
Teachers should not thrust on their students rather than pumping in. However, it is the teacher's duty to enlighten their students' sexual intercourse. Through training, they will realize they are as simple as ABC.
Yes.
So let's start with A. A, B, and C. We may not always succeed in screwing the trainables. We must always try.
We have to make sure there's some teabagging involved.
Oh God! Actually, there.
Who was that mysterious uniballer?
At X Day, why did we end up doing the most low frat boy like pranks?
Because we can.
Because we're a little boys' club, is what it comes down to.
We have secret passwords.
We have secret
skull and bones.
We have secret handshakes. You know,
well, yeah, of course.
I mean, we are just little boys with our little club, is what it comes down to. And, you know, I feel really sorry for some people who are. You know, Reverend Stang, one of the things I remember hearing before I got involved with the church was, join this church and you will get laid. But that's really misleading.
Well,
that's how they got me, too.
That's really misleading.
Who've not only gotten laid, they've even ended up getting married to some of the people that got laid by.
But you're certainly not going to pick anyone up at X Day.
No, that's not necessarily true. Jesus and Magdalene met at an X Day.
I met
really?
Princess
See?
Wee out there. Jesus and Magdalene met and fell in love and
Sifu
got married.
Sifu and Evie Love met
Popes,
and fell in love at X Day.
Lilith and Thea.
Yeah.
Let's see, who else? The late Eris Pagana and Reverend DJ Farrell.
See, that's odd, because every time I've been there...
I thought it was you, Bob.
Because of X Day.
See, every time I've been there, which is, you know, 4 years in a row now, it's been a huge sausage fest, basically. I mean, the only women there were there with their boyfriends or husbands.
Yeah, and they're really good-looking, aren't they?
Yeah, well, some of them.
Well, how about Jackie, that pretty hot woman, Jackie?
I don't recall.
Actually, Dr. Sinister, I noticed a couple of girls there that who didn't seem to be attached to anybody that were
really
about your age, but I never got a chance to talk to them. I don't know who they were.
They were probably pagans.
No, they were definitely sub-geniuses. One of them was a soft blonde. A big blonde. And the
well,
other
next
one
year, why don't you hook
small,
us up with
a
them?
A small one that I had no use for.
Give us your women.
But I was
Mars needs women.
And bring her to me.
Yeah. Hey, that has worked. Sometimes that works.
Yeah.
That's another thing that works. You walk up to some cute, or you meet this nice couple, and you... Now, this only works if you're older, a little bit older than the boy and girl involved, or tougher, and you look at the girl and go, oh my God, you're beautiful. What are you doing with this guy? And it's
that's what I was saying to the rabbi. That's what I was saying to Rabbi Jacqueline Hyde when I saw her.
That it usually causes the young man to be tongue-tied and stunned into inaction, and the young lady, of course, is just thrilled to be told she's beautiful.
Well, did you see Rabbi Jacqueline Hyde dressed as Marilyn Monroe for the Deity Ball? My God, she gave, you know, she got me all like, whoa, I'm jealous of Prestata now, geez.
Now, our listening audience does not know this inside gossip that you're referring to. They understand possibly but the Bob and Connie.
And here is a rare, rare live recording of Bob and Connie.
I've been having a love affair with Jerry Springer. I've been having a love affair with my dog. I've been having an affair with a whale, no problem.
I mean, like, you don't just want to be with someone just because of their penis.
But unfortunately, Bob and Connie weren't there this time.
Nope.
They usually aren't.
Nope, they have better things to do,
or
I guess.
That we know of.
Right.
Again,
there could always
so
be a Bob in disguise.
We don't know. Maybe all pass out sooner or later out there at X Day.
Maybe.
What happens then?
Maybe.
If you pass out in the wrong places, you get teabagged. Does
I awaken on the other side of the bed than the one I went to sleep on.
You know, it could be that that Bob is actually there in all of us, and that maybe only the pagans are the ones who can see this with their little magic tricks or whatever, and that's why they refer to us as the Bobs, because
that's
they look at us and they just see the Dobbs head.
Yeah, they don't call us the Bobbies or the Subdemies or anything like that. They call us the Bobs.
Yeah.
As if they see a bit of Bob in all of us, the boys and the unavailable, the girls that are unavailable to you.
Perhaps, as if we're avatars of Bob himself.
Perhaps Bob takes over our bodies, like it's like a body snatcher kind of thing during the time that we're there.
Now, another reason that there appears to you to be a dearth of nubile young ladies is Dr. Philo Drummond is there. And he's like a magnet, you know. He's the overman. He was trained by Bob. And even though he's like 75 years old now, when dames are around him, they just can't.
He was chasing him out of his trailer.
Wow.
He was chasing him out of his trailer. I was like, get out of here, young ladies. I need my sleep.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
It's strange. Dr. Howell, the same way.
Yeah. Dr. Howell.
All right. Well, at any rate, I'm just pointing out that it shows. When you're right with Bob, you have a certain mana about you, a certain halo, as it were.
It repels human females, yes, admittedly.
But not mosquitoes and so forth. I'm
or you no, tend actually, it does repel mosquitoes.
For you...
Sit amongst a swarm of them.
There's some Diet Ale 8 down there.
Governor Rocknor has arrived with the official drink of X Day.
Labatt's Blue.
The Ale 8.
Yes, of course. You see, the reason being
that this Blue
Ale 8 stuff, it seems to be percolating into everything. It's taste saturating everything here at this festival. But if you simply consider the 8 to be, instead of a vulgar numeral, a lemniscate on its side. A late one, it says, yes.
On Did you the, notice they don't have the one on the diet version?
No, they don't, but the diet
Why
version
is
inferior because it's for those who with compromised systems. But at any rate, the whole idea here is that the 8 is the symbol of infinity, upended, as we intend.
Oh, wait a minute. Does that mean we're going to have to wait forever for X Day to arrive? An infinite number of X days? 8661 was bad enough, man.
That's worthy of consideration, you know. We don't just go out there and stand around like cattle. We're going to have to finesse our transition. It will take every ounce of intellect, concentration, and physical strength that we possess not to muff X Day.
Well, we already know that Reverend Stang is our own Jane Goodall.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Did you see the... I saw the Scene magazine, or actually the Free Times last week.
Darwood made the Scene.
The Free Times. It was on the cover.
Free Times,
and they were interviewing people that I knew and talking about people. Actually, I think I might even know the guy who wrote it, but I'm not sure. I have my suspicions.
He goes to Starwood, or he was there last time. And he was real impressed with the Starwood Ashes business that Princess Wee sort of inherited from Raphael, the old man of the mountain.
You know, I think I might have known Raphael, too, actually. I remember seeing him at the first X Day I went to, and I never saw him in subsequent years.
Oh, he's out there still. He haunts the woods. He's the wild man that lives in the woods.
I think he actually initiated me into the cult of the bull.
Oh, really? Now, Dennis Murphy, of course, is the main cult leader of that.
Uh-huh.
Who is a different grizzled hipster.
See, because I don't know.
Brushwood and the Starwood Scene is just chock full of grizzled hipsters.
Yeah.
I don't know what they do to grizz up like that.
Years
Smoke
and years
a lot
of practice.
Cigarettes when they're younger, I think, is what does it.
Yep.
Now, what's it like at Starwood compared to X Day? It's like way, way larger crowd.
There's over 1,000 people there, and it's a completely different thing. I mean, most of them are a bit more spiritual minded. Seekers, suckers, nincompoops, people who know how to party like you would not believe.
It's like an East Coast Burning
Man. It's about half of them are the kind who hate the Church of the Subgenius because we grossly mock their most sacred... Well, we laugh in the face of ecstatic happiness, which they think should be taken very seriously.
Yeah.
Anyway,
I think that defeats the whole purpose of it.
The other half of Starwood, however, are the ones who like having Subgenius there because we tick off the shall we say, fundamentalist pagans.
Yeah, the fundies.
The neo-pagans and half-pagans and nagaps and all the different strange variations.
I don't know. They're
weirdos. It's a great place for weirdos.
Yeah.
Cleveland is a reason why I live in Texas.
Okay, now comb your hair.
Okay, let's go ahead and take a look at white men.
Paid for by Cleveland.
Anyway, Starwood is a good place to meet creatures
I bet.
Of the opposite or otherwise desired sex, although...
I hate to say this on the air, but, you know, by all accounts that I've heard, pagan chicks are easy.
Well, Dr. Legume said if you can't get laid at Starwood, you can't get laid.
Dr. Legume says a lot, Rotnar. Like any such genius preacher or old-timer, they say a lot. But Starwood is another place that has been a mating ground for usually it's subgenius guys and pagan girls, but I've known it to happen the other way around, where subgenius gals met some pagan fella.
Now, the hardcore witchy types, they probably don't use latex condoms. They probably insist on, like, the sheep intestine kind, don't they?
You know, actually, that's... I think most of them, it's just lip service, you know.
Uh-huh. Yeah. That's what I figure, too. I went through a pagan phase myself when I was 15, and I don't know. You know, I can't help but look at all the pagans I meet today as like an overgrown version of what I was at 15, you know.
But you got to credit them for wanting to believe in forces that they believe control the universe.
No, I really can't give anybody credit for a desire to believe in stuff that, you know, that they have no evidence of. You know?
Well, the thing I've learned about pagans is that there's no such thing as a pagan.
Well,
because they're all different.
They're all pagans. Christians are pagans, too.
There's no single belief system. There's a zillion little clusters.
Oh, yes. They all have different gods. And
it's probably best
different
that
fairies.
That it stay that way. The New Age came, and look at it. I mean, God, give me a break. Ugh.
Now, that's a place that would be a great setting for a novel.
What, Starwood?
Starwood. I'm getting ideas for books to write now, like ridiculous things happening.
There you go. That's a great idea.
I can think of ridiculous pagan drama or something.
Yeah, beat them. Well, you know, there'll probably be a Tom Clancy novel that takes place at Burning Man, and you can cash in on that.
First, I want to let you know that portions of the following broadcast may be found objectionable by some members of the listening audience. Therefore, WCSB advises listener discretion. And the views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of WCSB or Cleveland State University or anybody for that matter. We're just kind of talking nonsense here, so don't believe us. Do not believe a word we say. We just have to say that. You know, the people who really get it will still get it.
Got it? Well, get this. You're listening to The Hour of Slack, number 1003, but that clip was from Radio Synesthesia on WCSB.org on Sunday nights at 10 after The Hour of Slack in Cleveland. Yes, Cleveland. Dallas be damned. Fort Worth is okay. Friends, that's Post Office Box 181417, Cleveland Heights, Ohio 44118. I'm Reverend Ivan Stang, and get this, subgenius.com.
Last year, every man, woman, and child recently wrote, "Dear Cleveland, we moving to Iowa if you succeed." I agree with thousands of Iowans who are too high. To see the light of day, you must eliminate obnoxious Cleveland. It's a wonder anyone stays there at all.
Paid for by Cleveland.
But, friends, even if they did come, even if the aliens that Bob predicted would come in 1998, which obviously hasn't arrived in our true calendar yet, but even if the aliens came and wiped out, or if the humans screwed up so bad that we or somebody wiped out all life on the surface of the planet Earth, there's still these critters called heat vent worms. And friends, this is the kind of thing that gives me hope. Others, you may look into a crystal ball and get hope, or go and meditate and talk to God and get hope. I get hope from reading about the heat vent worms. These creatures are so different from the rest of us, they're not even really oxygen breed, or they're carbon-based, but that's about as much as they have in common with us. They live in the deepest parts of the ocean, where these volcanic vents have been giving off heat and crud and poisonous gases for an eternity. And they've evolved to live off of poisonous gases, no oxygen at all. They wouldn't do well anywhere else except around a heat vent. But the important thing is, even if the rest of the planet is totally destroyed, Bob will still have customers down at the bottom of the ocean, and evolution will bring those bastards up. It will happen. If everybody, if all our great, wonderful consciousness was wiped out, and even the great apes, and even the monkeys, and even the plankton in the sea were wiped out, those damn heat vent worms, give them, that might take a while, might take a whole billion years to drive mutated ones out onto the land or something, but there is progress. If I can get along with my dad as well as I do these days, friends, there's hope. There's progress.
All right, I think we're ready.
Okay.
And now the end is near. We sit and face the final curtain. Dobbs Hill, fuck them good. Their pink bright butts will soon be hurting. We lived a life that's full. We didn't go the pink boy job way. But more, much more than this, we did it Bob's way. Regrets, we had a few. But then again, too few to mention. We'll cleave their world in two, then blast off to the X dimension. Bob's pipe is stiff and hard, and it will smite them here on X day. He'll pulverize their little world and do it Bob's way. Oh, there were times you often knew the pink boys beat us black and blue. But through it all, we didn't stop. We took the pills and smoked the froth. We faced the con and we moved on. And it Bob's way. Oh sure, at times we cry, but they'll be the ones we'll be abusing until the last pink boy has died. I'm sure we'll find it fucking amusing to think we'll do all that. From Bangor, Maine, down to Zimbabwe. Oh no, not us. We'll do it Bob's way. For what is a sub? What has he got? If not some slack, then he has not to say the things he truly feels. And not the words of those who kneel. The record shows we dealt the blows and did it Bob's way. Thanks, brothers and sisters, for coming to the end of the world and beyond. Or kill me.
Phineas Narco from NationalCynical.com. That's where you can get more of that, NationalCynical.com. But now, from Lemur, a public service denouncement.
No want a unique personal challenge? Try the joint training team. You'll receive winning joints in Canada. For more information, call 1-333 or joints in the long run.
And then there's the horrible theory that the subgenius, that everything went wrong in the original 1998, and we're stuck in a loop where for all eternity it's 7 o'clock in the morning and nothing has happened. Forever and ever and ever.